Today I want to continue from where we stopped last week. Occupy till I come. This is Occupy till I come, part 3. Or I've given it a subtitle, Example of True Love. Example of True Love. I told us how when Jesus came, and after he died and resurrected, spent 40 days with the disciples, and then before their very eyes, he was taken up. We read all that from Acts of Apostles chapter 1. And last week we read verse 3. Actually, I'd like to read it again. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know that the issue of love, the kingdom of God, has to do with love. Amen? Love is preeminent in the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says that God himself is love. Hallelujah. God himself, when you see God in the person of Jesus Christ, you are looking at love. Love personified. He showed the disciples and the world that he came to save. He showed us what true love really is. And that's some of the things, part of what I want to talk about. I don't think I can exhaust it today. I don't even think I have the knowledge to exhaust the subject of love. But let me start by saying that love is one of the most used and abused words in everyday interaction. People easily just say, I love you, without really understanding the weight of the word love. I love you. It's a sentence that should be meaningful, but has been used in the most deceptive way that any man can imagine. That word, I love you, has derailed many people's destiny. The person who is not supposed to come into your space. Let me define space. Everybody should have three spaces. Your outer space, your inner space, and your innermost space. Jesus had his disciples, then he had the 12. And then he had the 3. Praise the Lord. Those 3 were closest to him more than the rest. Peter, James, his brother from the same mother, and John. They were closest to him. People enter your space by that single sentence. A simple sentence, as it were, I love you. I love you means you are important to me. I love you means I value you. I love you means I will defend you. I love you means I will always have your back. I love you means I will always be there when you need me. I love you means I will always tell you the truth. People's spaces have been abused and destroyed by that because it wasn't spoken in truth. It was spoken in deception. A man says to a woman, I love you, not because he really means it, but because he wants to abuse her or use her. And God help you if you are somebody that your parents never held before. If you are somebody that your parents never told that they love you before, you will embrace any love. That is something for us parents to let our children know. That is something for us spouses to let each other know what we mean to one another. Love is not a passive word. Love is a very active word. It's an action word. Like I have said time and time again, love is not a feeling. Feeling may be part of it, but the crux of love is a decision. Love says we rise together. Love says we fall together. Jesus made Peter to understand what the depth of love means when he told him, he said, even before the cock crows 3 times, you will deny me. And you say you love somebody from today, I want you to make sure that you understand what you are saying. The word I love you has moved people to obtain what they want. And get to where they want to go to. And the moment thing changes, or things change, or we have received what we want, and I can give you examples that will touch you. I've seen people pray and plead with God because they have a need. They will say anything. They will do anything. The moment we get what we want from God, suddenly, the consistency of our fellowship with Him suddenly diminishes. That is not love. Love does not even set out to get. Love sets out to give. The desire of love is to satisfy the other person. We live in a time of selfishness. where everybody's looking to themselves and for themselves. Not many care about the other person. And let me tell you, somebody who may say, it's true, people hurt my feelings. Do you know how many times you've hurt the feelings of God? Anywhere true love is, you will find a demonstration to back it up. Love always creates an atmosphere of joy. Love creates an atmosphere of peace, but not false peace. How can there be false peace? Yes, there can be false peace. So that you and your spouse do not argue, you agree to everything. That's not love. That's false. And that means you are lying to one another. And you know that love can hurt. Love can hurt. But love does not hurt to hurt. Love hurts to change a direction from the negative to the positive. Truth and love, they work together. But then when you receive truth, or when truth is spoken to you, you really feel bad. Amen? But when you are wise, you digest it. Many people take a while to digest the truth. And then you appropriate it. Hallelujah. Love is a measure of your motive. Love measures your motive. Why? Why do I want it? Why am I doing it? And you see, when we answer the question of motive, we can lie to ourselves, but we can't lie to the Holy Ghost. Because it searches the heart. Every nook and cranny of it. God demonstrates his love to us. He has demonstrated it. So don't sit down with your pretty self or your handsome, comfortable self and be asking, does God even really love me? Oh yes, he loves you. You have to check your own attitude. The one who did not withhold his only begotten son. You are questioning whether he loves you. Check your attitude of faith. Hallelujah. Love is sacrificial. I read the story of two people in a hospital. A man and a woman. You might have heard this story before, but it fits this subject. This woman was blind in both eyes. And this man paid her so much attention and professed his love for her. And asked her to marry him. And the lady said, no, I can't marry you because I'm blind. If only I can see you. When I see you, I will marry you. The guy was like, is that all? One day, there was eye transplant. And this woman was given two new eyes that she could see. You know, science has moved to that level now. She could see. And she now saw the guy. The guy had no eyes. Now that you can see me, will you marry me? She said, no, I can't. I can't marry a person like you because you have no eyes. The guy was just silent for a while and said, okay, but make sure you take care of my two eyes. Because it was the guy who donated his own two eyes to the girl so that she can see him and he can marry. That is the sacrifice of love. That is the sacrifice of love. It is love that moves a woman, though she was a prostitute, and her son is alive. The other woman's son is dead. And the king said, because you guys are arguing, cut the baby into two. And the woman said, no, don't cut him into two. Give him to the other woman. It is love that compelled her. She wasn't trying to be right anymore. Love, when love is in effect, being right doesn't matter at all. Did somebody hear me? Oh, I want to prove my... No, no, no. If love is right, if love is genuinely there, who cares to be right? That's what we read of Jesus Christ. In case you have forgotten what you read. It's amazing. The sacrifice. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised because he was a rascal. No. For our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way, which we are still doing. And the Lord had laid on him who did not commit any sin the iniquity of every one of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet, what did he not do? He did not open his mouth. He didn't say, no, you got the wrong person. I didn't do anything. Are we not quick to defend ourselves? In this age and time, your quietness is assumed as guilt. Because you don't want to say anything, everybody agrees that what they are saying about you is true. And sometimes that can be very dangerous. If you offend me and I don't say anything, that can be very dangerous for you. Because that means
I've said, Lord, take over.
Jesus did not defend himself. The love he demonstrated is a love you can't question. It's ignorance that will make a person question the love of God. Somebody will probably question, two nights ago, a girl was killed at a nightclub. Overnight, as of not long ago, the count has reached 53. 53 people were killed in a nightclub. They said in the history of the United States of America, we have never seen such a mass killing. It's like genocide. Can you imagine 50 people dead on the floor? That's bloodbath. In a gay bar. What are you doing in a gay bar? Or gay club? Those of you who are guys, go to club. Your life is not safe. Here on earth and in eternity. Praise the Lord. But pastor, what are you talking? Should we not enjoy life? What do you count to be enjoyment? What kind of enjoyment is in a clubhouse? The enjoyment of sin. Why must everything be about Jesus, 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 Jesus? Because the heaven we are going is about Jesus, 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 Jesus. Everything we do, every focus must be about him. If you say you are a child of God, that is what it's supposed to be. You can't create your own standard. Unquestionable love. Love worth emulating. We read, he gave his life so that you and I might live with him forever. John 15:13, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And in the person of Jesus, for his enemies. For his enemies. Romans 8:2, the Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin and death. That is love, brethren. The love that is true. The love that is unquestionable. The love that is worth emulating. While we were destructive, while we were sinners, he died for us. That is to say, there was no motivation, not because of, because of the good you did, let me sacrifice myself for you. That's the yardstick of man. Amen. The yardstick of men is, because you did this, I will do that for you. No. That was not Jesus' yardstick. We didn't do anything good to deserve him dying. He just said, you know what? I will die for them. And I believe they will turn good. I will take their punishment. When they see me take their own punishment, they will change their ways. Maybe for some, but not for all. The understanding of the scripture that we are in this world, but we are not of this world, has not dawned on all of us. We don't need to live here as if we belong here. Even from the open heavens we read this morning, a general overseer mentioned about the effects of culture, if I heard right. The culture of the world has a stronger grip than the culture of heaven, even in the church. It's like, this pastor does not even want me to enjoy my life. No. The enjoyment of life is in Christ. You know, there was a time people wore on their wrist WWJD, right? Is it 3W or 2? What would Jesus do? Just to remind us that this action I'm about to take, this thing I'm about to do, if it was Jesus, or if Jesus was here, what will I do? And the irony of it all now is that we now switch things around. God will understand. He doesn't understand sin. He doesn't understand pride. He doesn't understand self. Praise the Lord. Does he understand all that? Especially after we have been warned and warned and warned and warned. This year, it's like people are just dying like flies. Have you noticed? Huh? People are just dying. Notable men and women. May God have mercy on us. I'm enjoining us this morning to embrace that love unquestionable, that love worth emulating, that love that is so true, there is no falsehood in it. We read that he gave his body to be beaten and broken. Why? So that we can be healed. Isaiah said it. Brother Peter echoed it in 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, are we dead to sins? Or there's a passion of sin burning in us? He said we should live unto righteousness by whose stripes
we were healed. He shed his blood for a generation of perverts, pedophiles, homosexuals, gluttons, self-worshippers. You may not fornicate. You may not commit adultery. You may not cheat. You may not steal money. But you probably is an idol worshipper. Not because there is wood on the floor you bow down to, but you worship yourself. But I don't do that. You won't know. But if we put the camera on you and show you after 2 days, you might just see how you worship yourself. A self-worshipper is one who does not correct self, who knows they are wrong, but wouldn't correct themselves. The Bible talks about the Word of God as a mirror that we come to, we look through which we adjust ourselves. The Word of God we've been hearing, how much adjustment are we making? And some of us might justify the fact that if God doesn't want me to do this, why am I feeling it? He shed his blood for a generation of perverts, a people with no love, a wicked people. Can you imagine the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, leaving his throne above and coming to a world of sinners? Maybe if I was Jesus Christ and I left my throne above and I came and I'm preaching above for 3.5 years, I wrought miracles, signs and wonders, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and then people are not repenting. I'll just go back to heaven. Isn't that what we will do as human beings? Huh? Isn't that what we will do? That, well, I tried, but they didn't change, so I'm going back. But he said, no, this is why I came. I was discussing with one of my sons yesterday. We're talking about Muhammad Ali. And he said something I never thought about, but very, very pungent. He said, thank God that Muhammad Ali cannot talk. Because if he could talk, he would have converted many to Islam. Did you not know that? Eh? God, every interview this guy did, Islam was the motivation. Remember what I told us? He said the boxing he boxes is because of Islam. That there are only a couple of people he respects. He talked about one, Muhammad Elijah. And you know, he has a sweet tongue. Huh? In my life, I can't think about it and say it like that. That if you dream of beating me, wake up and apologize. Eh? Very well respected. He will have converted many. But God took his voice. But he hasn't taken your own voice. But we are not speaking. We are not sharing. We are not letting people know that Jesus is what really matters. The King of Kings. You know the picture of Jesus we see on the cross? Bowing his head. The King of Kings. It's like he bowed to sin. Thank God he rose again. He bowed his head in pain because of love. When we think about our children, most of the things we do is for them. So that they can have a better life. Isn't that true? Maybe you are not like me. Huh? Everything we do is to satisfy them. They are like a bottomless pit. Let's be truthful. I want. After you give that, I want another one. You give again, I want another one. In a department store, I was talking with a cashier, and she was telling me about her children. Said, oh, they have all left home. They don't call me. But when they have a need, they will call. And I have to answer them. Should children not even grow up to a point and say, let me be a blessing to my parents without them asking? We don't bless our parents because they have a need. It's because we need to honor them. People think honor is by mouth. Yes, sir. Yes, ma. And that is the end of honor. No. Your logic will keep question or keep questioning why you should keep loving somebody and sacrificing yourself for somebody or a people who do not even care. Why do I even continue to pacify this person? Why do I even continue to do everything for this person, and this person still do not care? I had the story of a man in closing getting married. His wife, they had the first child. This was in Nigeria. And actually the man was a Muslim. And the wife began to commit adultery. And people are saying to the man, but you know your wife is committing adultery. He said, I know. But I'm not going to divorce her. I want to have XYZ number of children. And the man had those numbers of children with the same woman. He said, I won't divorce her because she's the mother of my children. Usually it's a woman that does that. But this one was a man. Why do I keep doing this? Have you not heard on daytime television? It was the one that cheated first. So, you too, you decide to cheat. So it becomes tit for tat. Where 1-1, go let's draw. You know how they say in Nigeria, 1-1, go let's draw.
How one and go less, they go together in the same sentence. I don't know. Some of you don't understand that. Praise the Lord. He did it, so I too, I did it. That has already destroyed that home. There's no love there anymore. Love covers all sins. Love shields. Love says, I can't allow you to be disgraced. We can deal with it internally, but I won't allow the whole world to know. That is love. Jesus loves us. That is why he died. The highest thing he could do. 2 Corinthians, listen to this. And I close. Finally, my brethren. Maybe after another final. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. For the love of God constraineth us or compels us, because we judge this way, we thus judge. This is the premise, that if one died for all, he died for all. That means all were guilty and are meant to die. And that he died for all. Now he has died for all. And he resurrected. Those who for whom he died. That they should. They which live. That is. Are raised with him. They which live should do what? Should not henceforth. Live unto themselves. Oh, come on, give me Amplified. Anybody with Amplified version? What our son does not have Amplified. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Amplified. It says, for the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. So that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves. In a nutshell, he's saying he has given us another life to live, the life of love. He has set an example for us. Because love does not live for itself anymore. Love lives for others. Love is altruistic in nature. When you feel pain, love is pained. When you are crying, love is crying. He says, but to and for him, you see, to live to and to live for him who died and was raised again for our sakes. Hallelujah. That is what the love of God constrains us to do. Finally, Jesus then said,
In John 13, verse 34, I hope and I'm praying that this word I'm sharing with you is resonating in your spirit, man. That you are not just here in body.
John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. If he had ended it there, then we will devise how by ourselves. It says, love you one another. How? As I have loved you. I sacrifice for you. Sacrifice for one another. It's not saying you should die for somebody. Amen. Remember the man whom armed robbers came to their house and he hid in the cupboard. They asked the wife, where is your husband? He's not here. They found him in the cupboard. Two armed robbers. As they pointed the gun at him, he hid behind his wife. His wife was his shield. When they turn around again, he would turn too. His wife was his shield. What kind of a man are you? Somebody will say, well, I love her, but not to that level that I should die for her. In that situation, you don't use your wife as a shield. Whatever they want to take, let them take. Praise the Lord. Don't answer this question. Answer it inside you. Amen. The men. The men. Not amen. As a man, that you rather your wife die before you. How many of you? Thank God you are going to answer yourself. I'm not going to answer for you. You know? Like one of my friends who said, if his wife ever left him, he already knows the kind of woman he's going to marry next. Oh, Lord. I felt sorry for him. He's already saying, I'm not satisfied with this woman. May God have mercy. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Love is a major factor in our salvation. Love is a major factor in our walk with God. How deep is your love? Bow down your heads and let's pray. How deep is your love for God? Is your love a carnal love? Is your love a love of because of what I want to get? Is your love the sucking up love? Or genuine love with the fear of God attached to it?
You can ask God that, Lord, let your love be birthed in my heart today. And you truly mean it, because he's the only one who can give you love. And he said we should love one another as he had loved us. Part of love is discipline. Part of love is truth. Let your love be birthed in my heart. I can't hear you pray. We need more of the love of God on the inside of us. That is when there will be no more condemnation. Let your love take over my heart. You better pray for yourself. Let your love consume my heart. That day by day my heart will beat for you and for you alone. That like David I can say, as a deer pants after the water brook, so my soul longs after you, my God.